Hello, welcome to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michelson. In today's podcast, we're going to talk in more depth about what it means when we feel calm and safe, and how do we get back there when we are not in that place. So today I want to talk about what does it mean to live in that state of fear? Because a lot of us live in fear a lot, and not even as much as we realize. You know, recently I was talking to someone and she said her boyfriend said she's always in anxiety mode. And she said, God, I don't think I am. But she's recognizing that she is a lot more than she recognized. She's in that state of, oh my gosh, a lot. And we know that's kind of hard for our bodies. And our brain is wired for safety, not happiness. Now, remember, we still have a connection with our brain and our body to the days of living in the wild, animal attacks. Our ancestors had to fear many more dangerous encounters with predatory animals than we do. But our minds, of course, still go back into that fight or flight. And over time, we also, thank goodness, have acknowledged the freeze option. There's also now the flop that's in there too, because we don't just fight or flight. We don't. We sometimes freeze and sometimes we melt in a puddle. And all of those are things that we want to look at as far as, are they helping or hurting us? No, and just like our body, our emotions do that too. And just like our bodies, our emotions do that as well. Once we are there, it can be such a challenge to get out of that state of our bodies revved up and our emotions are revved right up with it. And then we make a lot of mistakes, of course. When someone plays a trick on us, like a jump scare, it can cause us to react from that same state. And we might really be angry at that friend or relative for putting us in that state because we maybe were really calm. When I was younger, I'd be watching a movie. And if it was suspenseful at all, my dad would sneak down into the room quiet and he would boo. And of course, it was my dad, so I really couldn't get mad at him. But wow, it would take me a while to get back to that relaxed state. And then I might be checking over my shoulder. He did it from a place of love and humor, but it didn't always feel humorous to me, of course. And that's what we can do when we are in that state of fight or flight too much. And a lot of us are too much. It can really hurt our central nervous system and many other organs. Now, remember that our brains are completely wired, connecting with every part of our body. So when we are in fight or flight, like I said, it does affect a lot of our body parts. And the more we're in this state of hypervigilance, fear, worry, the greater our minds are also in a state of worry, looking for the bad. The more we are in that anxiety feeling, the more we are allowing ourselves to recognize the things that are wrong versus recognizing all the things that are right, where we got to where we are in our lives as of today. However, we can shift this. And hopefully we all are shifting this. We can become more awake. Someone I know was talking to me recently, and they have a spouse struggling with a potential health issue. And it's in the beginning stages, and who knows what it's going to be. She doesn't know. She thinks about it. She starts to go into that big fear, goes into that non-reality place of worst case, which is what we do oftentimes when we have something come up in our system that is a big scare or can be a big scare. And then she has that same fear, transfers it to her daughter because her daughter is a lot like her husband. And then she finds a million things to then worry about. She's recognizing that pattern and she feels the fear. And our calm goes right out the window. Then it's this and this, and now I'm going to be late. And as does our positive outlook on life. It's all tied together. It can be so tough to stay positive when even one big thing goes wrong or a series of small things. We can go into that, all is wrong. Oh no, I knew this was going to happen. He's going to be really sick and then I'm going to have to take care of him or I'm going to lose him. Good things aren't going to come. I don't know if he's going to get better. Or now we're driving and look at that person, he cut me off. Instead of recognizing all of the other things that are going well. I'm going to be late. My daughter's not listening. This isn't going to work out. And now we're stuck. We're in this puddle of exhaustion and being emotionally spent, and we're seeing the negative instead of the positive because we're in that revved up fear state. So much that revved up fear state. However, by retraining our brain, we can look for that neutral place, that neutrality in every situation. In the neutral state, we can begin to feel more peace and positivity. And the reason I say neutrality as opposed to positivity is because it's easier to get to that place of neutrality than it is to the full positive, the glass is half full today, and wow, the sun is shining and I can do anything. We can be there, but we're not always there. But when we allow ourselves to begin to find that neutral space, calm is more present. And that's truly way better for us than the roller coaster of the, wow, life is great, and God, this all sucks. That emotional up and down, highs, lows, half full, half empty. Sometimes we do that all bouncing around throughout the day. Now, recently, someone told me this story, and I had never heard it before, and I want to share it. There's a Taoist story of an old farmer who had worked his crops for many years. One day, his horse ran away. Upon hearing the news, his neighbors came to visit. "Such bad luck," they said. "Perhaps," the farmer replied. The next morning, the horse returned, bringing with it three other wild horses. "How wonderful," the neighbors exclaimed. "Perhaps," the old man said. The following day, his son tried to ride one of the untamed horses, was thrown and broke his legs. The neighbors again came to offer their sympathy for what they called his misfortune. "Perhaps," answered the farmer. The day after, military officials came to the village to draft young men into the army. Seeing that the son's leg was broken, they passed him by. The neighbors congratulated the farmer now on how well things had turned out. "Perhaps," said the farmer. Because really, there's never an ending in life, is there? Life continues to roll, and we can handle it with a lot of stress and those up and downs of looking at this and looking at that. Or we can handle it with more ease like that farmer did, when we roll right along with it. Otherwise, we're bouncing up and down, and that's exhausting. And we can get so stuck in that roller coaster of fear and hope, fear and hope, fear and hope. We get stuck there because we're, of course, attached to outcome. You know, all humans, we all attach to outcome. We're human. We're living an earthly experience. We're goal-oriented. We want this. We want that. And we look at life as good or bad. Good meaning success. Bad meaning anything not successful, anything that is discomfort, anything that causes us discomfort, anything we can't find a solution for, because we are solution-oriented beings. We jump back and forth throughout the day, and that does it does a number on our nervous system. So what if we let our vision take us beyond Earth just for a moment to our soul story? What if we look at our life as a series of experiences? What if we care less about the outcome and allow ourselves to just enjoy those experiences along the way? That in and of itself can bring more calm and peace, acknowledging that's just an experience. Who knows what's going to come of that? Knowing that each experience is just that, an experience. And that is a challenge to us for many reasons, because we strive to meet goals. And we can meet goals. Absolutely. I'm a goal-oriented person. And I like meeting goals. It makes my life more fun and more driven and more passionate. And while doing so, however, we can balance that with more non-attachment. Strive for the goal and know we might be driven somewhere else, and not hold so tight to that one thing that we have an emotional roller coaster up and down because, oh, it's working. Oh, it's not. Oh, it's working. Oh, it's not. It's so much less sticky that way. So much healthier for our body as well. And that same pattern of highs and lows can happen within us when things are not moving as fast as we want. You know, timing, and we have timing here on Earth, 100%. Timing can cause more angst. I just spoke with a woman that is feeling so excited about a new business idea, and it's absolutely worth pursuing to her. She's really excited. And she said, I don't know, it's going kind of slow. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe I'm not supposed to do this. But I liked that she said that first. Maybe it's not the right time. A solid business idea or any idea that's worth pursuing might need time. We need a strong foundation, and sometimes that does take extra time. We might get an idea or an inspiration, but maybe it's coming in now, the idea, but it's meant to come into fruition in a year or a few years or 5 years. Because we get an inspiration, it comes from somewhere, doesn't mean we're meant to do it today, maybe, but maybe not. So when we have a great idea and we're trying to create it into a concrete reality, and things are not going as planned, it's a great time to pause and ask the universe, ask your higher self, ask God, what is going on now? Is this timing right? Am I supposed to wait? Can I create it later with a stronger foundation? Or am I just supposed to build it brick by brick and be patient? The universe, our higher self, works with us and gives us answers when we're calm. And way easier to get the answers when we are in that state of neutrality. Now, we have a choice about staying awake with every experience. I can get into truth or I can turn away from it. Pain will diminish. It always does. It feels tough. And then maybe we want to turn away from it, or maybe we want to stay in it. We want to bury our heads or climb into a bed, ignore the truth. Or we want to blunder our way through it. However our pattern is, just allow ourselves to be more awake and get into that neutral territory. So we're not in the depth of the emotion of it, but then in the wonder of it, which connects us to our soul. Going into neutrality eases so much of this, and that brings us to more calm, more peace, much less fear. Then that carries us throughout our day with so many more experiences we have. And of course, that brings us into a deeper connection with our lightness, our soul. With every decision we make, every breath we take or do not take is a choice to distance ourselves from our soul or bring in more light. Every decision, every breath. And we can always get back. Doesn't matter how far off we've fallen, we can always get back if we choose. If we choose, and it takes determination and being awake. And even if we feel awake and those around us choose to stay stuck, or are more stuck than us, it affects us much less. Doesn't mean it's sometimes not hard, but we know there's a greater piece at play here. And the more we practice that, that neutrality, the greater that can grow. You know, as humans, and I love being a human, I love all the humans I know, we're so wonderfully complex. How can we feel hopeful one day and so overwhelmed the next? Or how can we feel hopeful in one moment and then the next we're overwhelmed and this all sucks? We can have one unsettling thought and then we're connecting to all the shaky channels. We go down all those channels of grief and despair and despondency and oh no. And yet we can look at the light. We can have a good thought. Yesterday was a really intense day for me for many reasons. And I'm moving and I have my daughter's car is still at the old house. And I could not find those dang car keys, put them somewhere safe. And then, of course, it was that and that and that and that and that. I was struggling. And all of a sudden, I had my aha, I just surrendered. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I put those keys in my old purse. Sure enough, there they were. And what happened? I was like, oh, it's all good now. Forgot all the other stuff that were the issues, because that one thing was, whew, as I surrendered. So how else do we get there? Now, we've talked before about gratitude. Practicing gratitude is so important. And that is so easy if we allow ourselves to open our heart. It can be because you breathe, because you get a hot shower, because we get to eat breakfast, because we have a bed, because we have people that love us. Whatever it is, it can be simple things and it can shift us so fast. Another way to get back into that neutral place is to just be kind. You know, being kind is so important. Practicing random acts of kindness and not attaching to the outcome. Just do it from a place of neutrality, not expecting anything in return. Just be kind. And we can do that as a daily affirmation. And we can even ask the universe, all right, I'm ready to behave in a kinder way. Give me opportunities. Of course, we can also get into neutrality by smiling. When we smile, it relaxes the body and things don't always seem so bad. And that's the neutral. Doesn't mean, wow, I'm high on life right now, but I'm understanding I am just a small speck in this huge world, and I can be quite humble with that. Smile. It releases dopamine. It releases endorphin, serotonin, and it can bring us more peace. And as always, we want to move that body. Exercise is so important for emotional health. Exercise can take our crazy thoughts and bring us back into a state of neutrality. And it's important when you're exercising. It's important for all of us when we're exercising to be in the body, not in the thoughts. So feel the body, move the body. And another piece that I've talked about, I feel this is so important. Pay attention. Who is your tribe? Who are those people you hang out with? Are they on that emotional roller coaster all the time? You have some of those people, but that could be exhausting. And then you might find yourself going into that because that state of collective unconscious is we can become like the people around us. So who's my tribe? Who's your tribe? Hang out with those people that are trying to balance their emotions. At least have some of those people in your life. Just a couple more. One is the five senses. Love using my five senses. Taste, touch, smell, hear, see. I think I can never say that enough. Because when we do, that can put us in a state of peace and calm and non-fear right away. Pay attention to those five senses. What you're hearing and seeing and smelling and tasting and touching. Have those be good experiences. Savor those. I love savoring. I love that concept of just take some moments and savor the world around you. Savor the experience. And of course, that leads to practice being present because it's not possible to savor something if we're not present in it. And we can have presence in so many ways. We can have presence just by tasting something and, oh my gosh, it's so yummy. And then we just want to enjoy it. One of my kids used to hum while they ate. They were enjoying their food so much. I love that. We can also be present with a meditation or breathing. But again, just being in that state of I'm in my body. So I'm going to use those five senses. You know, when you hear a bird chirp or caw or sing, if we just take a moment and stop what we're doing, sigh and listen to what that is. That's being present. That's savoring the moment. And that's a great way to start our day. How we start our day can do wonders. What is a good morning practice? That's up to you to learn. My morning practice is listening, being present, and just allowing myself to hear whatever sounds are in the house. That's a good start to my day. And to stretch and yawn. What is your morning practice? Extend that to whatever it is, but be present to yourself and savor that morning time. We are in such an intense time in our lives, and this is going to continue for a while. And the more we allow ourselves to learn to practice from that place of neutrality, it really does give us a much better way to live, a much healthier way to live. A much more calm, have much less fear, and way more peace way to live. Thank you for being here. I so appreciate it. And I look forward to connecting with you next week.
Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing, and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms. And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.